love everyone in the world. What do you think? Of course it does. God's merciful love for the people of the world, even to those who do not believe in Him, is seen in the way He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. God's merciful love is also manifested in the opportunity He gives the people of the world to realize they have sinned against Him and to repent and be reconciled to Him through His Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering or patient to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's merciful love is no doubt unconditional, but that does not mean He will take sin lightly. God will not allow sin to continue to wreak havoc in creation forever. If God would to let sin go on unpunished, then He would not be love. In Genesis 29, please turn your Bible to it. In Genesis 29, verses 13 to 35, we read of how God justly uses Laban's treachery to teach Jacob an important lesson about the proper way to take hold of His promises. Genesis 25 tells us Jacob wants to obtain his family spiritual birthright for himself. Though Jacob's goal is noble than Esau's, the method he uses is anything but noble. He manipulates his elder brother in his weakened state, Esau, to satisfy his hunger pang. So his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. Both Esau and Jacob shows themselves to be people unworthy of the promises God made to Abraham. But because Jacob is the next in line after his father Isaac in the Abrahamic covenant, God has to do something to wake up Jacob from his sin of unbelief. In the same way, God will not allow any of His children to go on sinning against Him without repentance, without humbly calling to God to forgive them of their sins. If, after much promptings, and we don't or refuse to repent, God will step in to discipline us. Hebrews 12, verses 6 and 7 and 11 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyful, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Esau, out of hatred, plans to kill Jacob for what he did to him. Jacob not only cheated Esau of his spiritual birthright, but also have taken away the blessings that is due to him from his father. But God, being a merciful God, at this moment of Esau's plan to murder his brother, God moved their father Isaac to step in. Isaac calls Jacob and blesses him and sends him to Padan Aram, a district of Mesopotamia, so that he would find a wife among his mother's people rather than among the Canaanites. Jacob took this opportunity. He takes flight and flees for his life. At battle, he has his first encounter with the living, faithful, covenant-keeping God, who pledges to protect and give him children, even though he is on the run from Esau, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 27, verse 41, and chapter 28, verses 10 to 22. Following his encounter with Yahweh at battle, Jacob journeys on to the east, now much light-hearted and with speed. He has begun to realize the truth of God's promises to him and the reality of the safety and purpose he finds under divine providence. Old Testament narrative often teaches us about the Lord's superintendence of all things indirectly. And this is the case for Jacob. Arriving at Padan Aram, he is guided to the very field where some shepherds from Haran are tending their sheep. So perfect is God's timing that Rachel just arrived with her flock when Jacob is talking with the shepherds. Being a good shepherd, Jacob wonders why these shepherds are waiting at the well when there is still daylight for feeding the sheep. They explain that they will not remove the cover from the well until all the herd has arrived. It is an emotional packed moment for Jacob when he meets his cousin Rachel. And for Laban, a short while later, when he meets his nephew Jacob.
Jacob's
meeting with Rachel at the well probably is the same well where Abraham's servant meets Rebecca. And so we realize that nothing happened is by chance. The meeting of Jacob with Rachel at the well is no coincidence. The same Lord who guided Abraham's servant to find a wife for Isaac now finds a wife for Jacob. My brethren, I want to repeat again. Nothing happens to us is by chance. Often, we are unaware of how the Lord is working in our lives to produce good for His kingdom. In this aspect, John Calvin gives this helpful counsel. Let me read out to you what John Calvin said. Whenever we may wander in uncertainty through intricate windings, we must contemplate with eyes of faith the secret providence of God, which governs us and our affairs and leads us to unexpected result. As believers in the living and true God, we must have this childlike faith in our Heavenly Father that He is ordering our lives to glorify Him, even if we cannot always see it. We must take hold of what God promises us in Romans 8:28, that He is working out all things for good to them that love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In Genesis 29, verses 13 to 20, we read how God gives Jacob a gift of love. Look into your Bible and let me read out to you what is written in Genesis 29, 13 to 20. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house, and he told Laban all these things. Verse 14, and Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemeth unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Hearing of Rachel's encounter with Jacob, Laban runs to meet his nephew, just as he earlier ran to meet Abraham's servant, recorded for us in Genesis 24 and verse 29 to 31. Laban's joyful response is partly motivated by his sister's son, Mike, by what Jacob might do for him. He has heard of Jacob's strength, of how he removed the cover from the well without the help from anyone. He hopes to put Laban's power to work for himself. Laban then offers to pay wages to Jacob for his work. His offer seems generous, but if we are to look carefully at what Laban says in verse 15, it tells us otherwise. Later on, we read in the account, especially in verses 21 to 27, how he exploits Jacob's labor for Rachel, for Rachel's hand in the marriage. Laban has noticed his nephew's affection for his younger daughter, verses 16 to 18a, and knows Jacob wants her as his wage. In those days, the groom's family paid the bride's family to arrange an engagement. And if Rachel will to be his, Jacob must not take from Laban. He must offer something in return. And so Jacob offers 7 years of service to Laban in order to wed his beloved. Verse 18b. Jacob's offer is generous. His 7 years of labor is worth 128 shekels, nearly three times more than the maximum bride price according to the Mosaic law written for us in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 29. But Jacob's love for Rachel is so deep that no price is too high for her hand. When a man is truly in love, he will not hesitate to do great things for his woman during courtship. He will work over time to buy an engagement ring. Even if he does not like to write, he will still force himself to write a poem or poems to his beloved and go out all the way to buy gifts, go places she likes. The love we show on the woman we love, do you know, is commanded by God in the Bible? How sad it is to see many Christian couples show less affection for one another after their wedding than before they were married.
So may I ask those who are husbands here this morning, when was the last time you did something relatively so-called small out of love for your wife? To all who are wives, if your husband showed less devotion to you now than before you were married, it might be good to ask yourself if you are still behaving in a way that would inspire such attention. What we sow, that we will reap. We must believe that. Jacob, who tricked his elder brother of his spiritual birthright and blessings, learned this truth the hard way. In Genesis 29, verses 21 to 30, we read, look into your Bible. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and make a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her wish, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her wish, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Laban has agreed to give his daughter as a wife to Jacob in exchange for 7 years of his service. However, if we are to look carefully at Genesis 29, verse 19, Laban does not mention specifically to Jacob that he will give Rachel to him. He just said to Jacob, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. When Laban said those words, he was actually setting up a trap for Jacob. After Jacob has served him for 7 years, Laban holds a feast to celebrate his daughter's wedding. Verse 22. Marriage ceremony in that culture includes parades to and from the bride's home, a large meal, and continued partying long after the couple consumed their marriage. The bride was veiled during the ceremony. Thus, Laban was able to substitute Leah in place of Rachel. Verse 23-25. Especially since wine was likely to be drunk during the festivities. Jacob, the deceiver, is now himself deceived. He has not gone unpunished for the tricks he did to his father Isaac into giving him the better blessings. Genesis 27, verses 1 to 29. Jacob rightly complained to Laban about his treatment. But let us understand that God is now using Laban's treachery to teach Jacob, who is the next in line after his father Isaac in the Abrahamic covenant, this important lesson. God is saying to Jacob, yes, I have chosen you and am sovereignly using your transgressions for my purpose. But I do not approve of the way in which you have lived. And I am now disciplining you for it. My brethren, it is an understandable truth that our Heavenly Father will discipline His beloved children for their sins. When we go through hardships or tough times, it is good to ask ourselves, is God using these tough times to get me back in line, just as He did with Jacob? Let us know well that the Lord's discipline is a sign of His love for us. And we are to take it as an opportunity to grow in our faith. But if we stubbornly chose not to repent of our sins, may I say, it is a warning sign that you might not even be a believer. Martin Luther has this to tell us. In the first of his 95 theses, he reminds us that it is the Lord's will that the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. We begin our Christian life with repentance, and we are to continue to repent of our sins till the Lord bring us back home to heaven. The very reason is this: none of us are perfect, and God has yet to finish with us in molding and shaping us to His image. And for this reason, our Christian life must be marked by repentance. Verses 31 to 35, let me read out to you. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard I was hated, He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing. As you read of how Leah was badly treated by Jacob, was hated or loved less than Rachel by Jacob, we feel sorry for her. There are probably more than two reasons why Leah is hated by Jacob. First, she is not physically beautiful as her sister Rachel. Her eyes lack the sparkle or glitter that was highly prized in that culture. Second, her own father uses her as a pawn to coax more years of service out of Jacob. And her own week-long wedding reception is thus tainted by being also celebration of Laban's craftiness. Then her indignities are further compounded by having to suffer through another 7 days when the pretty sister is the center of attraction after marrying her husband as well. Also, she has to bear the burden of living with the knowledge that she is not all that desirable to Jacob. But God, being a merciful God, He took pity on Leah. The Lord loves Leah even when Jacob does not. When the Lord sees Leah is oppressed, He acts on her behalf. He opens Leah's womb and makes her a mother before Rachel. Verse 31. giving her the greatest status a woman in that society could have. Nevertheless, we read, Leah's longing for her husband to love her remains foremost in her mind. What does this tell us? What does this incident remind us of? It reminds us that God ordinarily chooses to exalt what men have rejected. And this is what he does for Leah. Leah has the honor of mothering the priestly Levi and royal Judah, these two tribes of Israel. She is also ultimately the mother of the Savior Jesus Christ, who himself embodied both of these roles as king and priest. If this supreme honor was given to Leah, how can we, as God's children, that God will not exalt us in his own timing? The love story of Jacob, though filled with exploitation, deceit, and distress, is also abundant with the love of God. As we have seen in Jacob's story, God's love for us involves his discipline as well as his provision. No matter what situation we find ourselves in today, remember this: God loves us. Demonstrated in the true sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. Though God loves us in ways we will never fully understand, his love outshines the darkness of human evil and daily calls us to forgiveness, redemption, and relationship. Please remember this. Second, because God has extended his unconditional love to us, we are to share God's love with everyone, even those whom the world would consider unlovable. During this period of the COVID-19 scare, will I take this opportunity to share the love of God with those who are fearful? Let's pray God will use us and give us the opportunity. I'm praying for myself at the Dialysis Center. We have all kinds of people there. But my prayer to the Lord is, open the door for me to share the gospel with whosoever God intends to save. It is our duty. We who have received, who are the recipients of God's love, to go out to share this love of God with our friends, neighbors, colleagues, and classmates. Perchance, through the sharing of the gospel, many will be moved by God to see the need to get right with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves us. He has already shown it in saving us from our sin through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to extend this grace that we have received from God to others. Let's not keep this love of God to ourselves, but to share with as many as God put along our way. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for reminding us of this precious truth, that you are God who is a merciful God, and yet you will not take sin lightly. You are calling us every day to repentance and to a right relationship with you. At the same time, you also remind us that in as much as we have received your love, we are to share it out to others, especially by the giving of the gospel to whosoever you brought along our way. Use us for your glory. We ask all this with thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.